Blog Talk Radio.
That song, I love the celebration of woman.
Yes, let's celebrate being a woman.
Good morning, lovely people out in the virtual
world. It was a woman.
Y'all see Ginger's rambling? I'm trying to introduce the show. Ginger says, I think it's a woman. You know why that is, don't you? You were crunching too loud earlier. Although she crunched my ear every morning.
So good, too, man.
Every morning I got to deal
raisins with mixed with some cereal.
See? Yeah. See? And there she goes. every morning I get the crunching in my ear. Ginger don't love me.
I totally love you.
She does.
Well, I do it.
All right, so in case you didn't know, you are listening to Lunch with Ginger. Ankara.
Ankara.
And I am the iPad 3.
Well, then I am the Raspberry.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That is right nice.
Yes, very much so, very much so. Good morning and happy Thursday. Thursday, March 1st even. Woohoo!
It is rumored, you people out there that are suspicious, if you say and think the word rabbit all day today, the rest of your year should be like a cakewalk. This is what my grams told me this morning.
Really? All right. Well, see, I'm now going to think of a rabbit all day.
Yes. Now, she said technically you should have said it the first thing when you woke up. She said, but it still works the same if you think it the rest of the day.
Okay.
And say it to yourself.
I'm going to draw a rabbit on a piece of cloth. Oh. No, guess not. My cloth tore. I need some paper.
My pen don't work, so we're a good
thing. Hey, there's me some paper. Marker. Oh, never mind. That's why that's not working. That's not a magic marker. That's a wet erase. All day long, people. Every day.
Out of order. All day long, every day.
Out of order.
Also,
you tell me that all the time. Y'all ever notice that? All the time.
All day, every day. Just so you all know, apparently there's some type of donations being taken to get Ginger a copy of GTA 4.
Who is there?
Jay has suggested, he suggested this yesterday, that you all hold a telethon or call Sally Struthers for an emotional infomercial. I didn't have the heart to tell him that nobody knows if Sally Struthers is even still alive. Has anybody even seen that woman?
Who is Sally Struthers?
Exactly.
I know
who she is.
Fluffy cake.
She does. And I know who she is, but, you know, Ginger's our baby, so she's probably never seen. Have you ever seen the show All in the Family? When? Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. that sounds like something like you'd hear in Alabama, man.
No. It's
the Family, Alabama.
No, it's not Alabama. It's not ad name. she's Googling it the wrong way. She's not going to even find what she's supposed to have. Okay. You can look it up. Look it up later. But for now, I got to take this. I told Ginger I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I have to. This is news is too juicy. Blizzard is going to axe 600 jobs following
the next. Oh, God, why?
Ooh.
Is it because game sucks or is it because you did the whole, gay thing and made everybody mad?
I don't really know. But GI.biz is reporting that around 90% of these reductions will be unrelated to internal development, and the World of Warcraft development team is not affected. So don't panic and be like, oh, no, my wow, oh, God. Oh. Okay, so what they say now. They said they're doing constant evaluations of teams and processes and is nearly I'm sorry, this is necessary for the long-term health of any business. This is from the CEO of Blizzard, Mike Morhaime. He says, over the last several years, we've grown our organization tremendously and made large investments in our infrastructure in order to better serve our global community. However, as Blizzard and the industry have evolved, we've also had to make difficult decisions in order to address the changing needs of our company. Knowing that, it still does not make the letting go of some of our team members any easier. We're grateful to have had the opportunity to work with some of the people with the people impacted by today's announcement. We're proud of the contributions they made here at Blizzard. We wish them well as they move forward. Oh, Blizzard's World of Warcraft shed around 1.7 million subscribers between October and September last year, with the total numbers as of November 2011 at 10.3 million players. The publisher said that forthcoming releases such as Diablo 3 would not be affected by redundancies. Because things are going to have to work extra hard. They don't have those people to back them up. I'm so sorry you guys are losing your job.
I am so sorry that Blizzard is so horrible that y'all are losing your job. Yes, and I totally went there. Your game, you know, I was looking at it at my hard drive because I still have it, and I was in there debating, am I ever going to play this again? Is this just wasting space? Could I get rid of this and download more midget porn?
I got to say, I'm loving the comments over at GI.biz. One, Mr. Sean Warren is saying he has a checklist. Start company. Exploit labor. Overcharge for services. Seize power. Rule the world. Profit is pretty much Blizzard.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Totally. Blizzard, you are evil, and you killed me. You killed my gaming addiction, I think. I hate you.
Uh-oh. Wow. Okay,
oh,
so.
No. Are you ready for the next story? Cause
don't you have something about some EQ you wouldn't tell me about?
Oh, I do. SOE bids a fond farewell to EverQuest Online Adventures and more.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Yeah.
That'd be sad.
Sony Online Entertainment has finally decided that it's shut down EverQuest Online Adventures, its subscription-based MMORPG for the PlayStation 2, as well as two long-running online games, Cosmic Rift Infantry and Star Chamber the Harbinger Saga. All right, so the company said that the servers for these games will officially close on March 29th. As a reward to current players of EverQuest Online Adventures, SOE will be giving out three-month gold memberships to EverQuest and EverQuest 2. Really, people, are you still playing EverQuest? Stop that. All right, so those will be made available a little sooner, March 16th. From the official website, they say, it is with a heavy heart that we announce today the imminent sunsetting of four of our long-standard game services on March 29th, 2012, including Cosmic Rift, Infantry, Star Chamber the Harbinger Saga, and EverQuest Online Adventures. Each of these games shares a special place in both ours and our players' hearts. This is not an easy decision, but there comes a time when it's best for our developers to move on to the next adventure, and that day has come. As a reward to the players of EverQuest Online Adventures, we will be giving you 3 months of gold membership in both EverQuest and EverQuest 2. We greatly appreciate all of you and hope that you choose to join us in another version of the NORAT that we all love. These gold memberships will be available starting on Friday, March 16th, 2012. We would like to thank our players for their loyalty and for sharing the good times on these games. It's been a blast, and we hope to keep gaming with all of you in our great games here at SOE. Yeah. Oh, they say let's keep pushing the boundaries of MMO gaming together. I'm sorry. Y'all haven't pushed boundaries since EverQuest was released. And Corey's all quiet.
Because I'm muted. Yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
What you got?
Okay, I'm having to give you something really quick, but I'm having to contact a developer at the same time. I just realized they asked us to help them out. Okay, so a company called AltShift, you've heard us mention them before, mm-hmm. is also following in our lovely footsteps and trying to get some crowdsource funding. I'm going to tweet their... a link to their project. This is a game we were talking about. It's a geosocial game.
Yeah. Sorry, I was laughing.
Yes, stop it.
I would, but we live in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, this is sad. Yeah, this is horrible for us. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and tweet that if you're listening. By the time I
leave.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, I'm better.
Are you better?
I think so. I was choking on some green tea leaves.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, the link is up on our Twitter, and we'll probably try to grab that and make sure it gets onto our Facebook. I think our Twitter posts to our Facebook. So if you're unable to find it on Twitter, mm-hmm. you can find it on our Facebook page. But the name of the company is AltShift. They've been working on a geosocial game, and they're also looking for some crowdfunding, which is the UK version, if I'm not mistaken, of our Kickstarter. So give them some attention, some love. We like to throw our developers a little love when we can.
Okay.
Good luck to you guys. I told you I'd mention it. And there you be.
Yay!
And don't forget us when you're Bungie. All right. That's my short one.
Yes, if you come out with the next Master Chief, I'll love you forever.
I don't know about Master Chief, but I meant size of Bungie. You stop with the Master Chief loving.
Okay. Size of Bungie.
I got another short one I'm going to toss in here.
What's that?
Some Lionhead veterans have formed a new studio called Another Place Productions. If you're not familiar with Lionhead, they are the company who made the game, the movies, Black and White. They're also, I want to say some of them may have been involved in making the original Fable, but I could be mistaken there.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were all the whole Peter Molyneux crew. They all rolled together. They are Fable. So the co-founders of Big Blue Box and the creators of Fable franchise have formed yet another new development studio, again, Another Place Productions. Dean and Simon Carter sold Big Blue Box to Lionhead and Microsoft and led the award-winning Xbox franchise to sell more than 12 million sales. The pair left Lionhead just last year and are now joined in a new venture by former Fable art director John McCormick, and I love his artwork. The Fable artwork is just beautiful. Also, Lionhead's technical director, Guillaume Portes?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Port? It's Port. And the studio's executive producer, Jeremy Texier. I'm sorry, I don't get to speak my French very often, so I get rusty. It gets to sounding horrible. The team said it intends to create high-quality, meaningful experiences that will inspire audiences worldwide. And as of now, it's focusing on digital formats for the PlayStation Networks, XBLA, Steam, and mobile. See, here's where we are fantastical here at Gaming Matrix and Gamer Girls Radio. We have always shown love to our indie developers, and we have so many indie companies now. So many people are going indie. I just love it. We're going to get some really interesting games in the next year or two.
Yes, 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 yes. And I cannot wait to see what y'all come out with.
These guys are like the heavy hitters that do the Fable. If you've never played Fable, Ginger.
See, she's always outing me. Always outing me.
Ginger needs to get on her some Fable. You got to play it to understand why everybody loves it so much. And I would say don't get the latest Fable and don't play the first one. Start with the second one and just be ready to sit down, get you some snacks because you're going to be there a while. As soon as you get into playing, it's going to be all over. You're going to be pulled in. You'll love it. I promise you.
You keep saying that, but I don't know.
If you like Skyrim...
I did like Skyrim, yes.
Okay, so if you like Skyrim, you're going to love Fable, but Fable is Skyrim, but with much more humor and, I think, much more personality. Skyrim is kind of, in a weird way, can be kind of depressing, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing.
You're planning, you're kind of like, oh, God, I go here and everything's wrong. Now, Fable... is much more humorous in his delivery. In addition to that, you know, the married thing. They just added that to Skyrim. The married thing has been in Fable, but you can have as many husbands as you can stand, many as kids as you can stand. Of course, they start asking for money. You have to go home every now and again when you're adventuring.
Really? They do?
Yeah, they ask for money or they need things or the kids want you to bring them toys. And you can have your spouse killed if they start lipping off. If you have more than one husband, there's people that will threaten you. This is in both the 2 and the Fable 3. You know, somebody will threaten you and say, I'm going to tell your husband / wife, and you can either kill them or kill your spouse or pay the ransom. You know, there's a whole bunch of choices. And 3 is not bad. You need to start with the 2 so you get the feel of where it went, because the first one was very convoluted to me, in addition to not having a playable female character pleasing me. But love it. Everything's humorous. People don't forget you. back to their kind of mean or nice. They're either loving you or hating you. So you gotta try it. Anybody out there not try Fable, it should be on sale now. Go pick it up and play. It's something to do over the weekend that'll keep you busy. You may not want to give it back come Monday.
I may have to because, yeah, that...
It's awesome. It really is. I'm not just saying that. It's an awesome game. If you like a good RPG with some humor, everybody keeps making the arrow to the knee joke, but Fable is full of those. It's full of, you know, but we, for some reason, those never caught on as much. I think it, what was the one that say, hello there, chicken kicker. It's good to see you again. So, but you get called that every time they see you. Isn't she the one that kicks the chickens? Yes, yes, she is. Hello there, chicken kicker.
Wow, and they sound all happy that you're the one who kicks the chickens.
Well, that's if they get to know you as that. You can change your title and all that stuff. So there's fun little differences.
But I think I think
Fable's, like I said, much more humorous and upbeat, you know.
That does sound amusing. You know, I was looking at that the other day when I was at the store, so I may. We'll see.
All right, we better move along. And head out Thrashbot Music out there sending out some love.
All right, there are some ticked off people this morning who are home from work, you know, sick, day off, whatever. PlayStation Network goes dark for maintenance on Thursday.
Ooh, yeah. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm. So a message on the official PlayStation blog warns PlayStation Network users that the service will shut down for 14 hours for some routine maintenance. You will not be able to sign into PlayStation Network during that time, and any websites related to it will also go off the grid until the service returns on Friday. Sony did not disclose what it would be changing or if any new update would be applied during the service outage. All right, so from the blog, it says PlayStation Network will undergo a significant maintenance period on Thursday, March 1st. Maintenance is expected to start at just after 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific time will last for several hours until approximately 10 p.m. Pacific. Unlike typical maintenance events, consumers who are already signed into PSN will be signed out and be unable to sign in for the duration of the maintenance window. Ooh. During this time, users won't be able to access the PlayStation Store, PlayStation Home, account management, or play online. PSN-enabled websites will not be able to service users, including this one. I'm going to lose my voice. Please stay tuned to the PlayStation Twitter feed for a notice when PSN is fully back online. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause.
I think some more free games are in order personally.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And this is the whole cloud-based thing that everybody's wanting to go to, and this whole you have to be online to play your games. This is another reason why I don't like this.
Yeah, we've had some discussions about that off air. We should discuss tonight, you know, gaming. And yeah, we'll save it for later.
Yeah, and a little bit off topic. You strippers who keep following me on Twitter, what the hell? I don't care what you're playing with or who. All right, stop.
Oh my. They like us.
They do like us. I mean, like every other of my friends' requests, followers are, you know, so and so is following you, and I kind of go look at it, and I am screwing such and such. I don't want to know.
I don't understand what the
sex
what
all the day. Newest one was I'm gonna have sex on the moon.
You know what? Here's a compliment though, Ginger. If you look at who all they're following, we are one of the two or three people that they actually follow.
This is true.
So it's so in some kind of weird side universe, it's a compliment that so many strippers and adult industry women follow.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're a gamer, you're a gamer. I'm not going to follow you just because.
I don't know that they are gamers. I think that they think that we are what they are is the problem.
No, I'm sorry. I just write for Sex in the City or Sex in the Virtual City.
Well, No. It's not even that you write for Virtual Sex in the City. It's that we, you know, we have the Come for the Boobs, Stay for the Brains, and we're a gaming website. They haven't actually looked at or listened to our show. They just see it, and they think we do what they do, which is, you know, maybe we pose, you know, naked with controllers in our hands or, you know, whatever it is that they do, they're, you know.
This is another topic I'm going to rant about.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Tonight on air, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, a girlfriend of mine, and she was being a complete airhead, bobblehead. No, she wasn't being a beep. She was just being a bobbleheaded, airheaded woman. And it was like, really? We had the whole discussion about the whole princess the syndrome. Yeah, so we got to talk about that later.
That's not good for show topics, either. That's just gaming related.
It was gaming related, though, because we got to talk about the different games. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
So
Okay. You should breathe. Relax, relate, release. Okay, so on to the next story. So apparently Netflix is starting to say to Comcast, you know, you're not looking so bad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, maybe I ought to take you out. So Netflix chief executive Reed Hastings is typically associated as one of the leading faces for the cord-cutting movement, which is made up of people who cancel their expensive cable or satellite television subscriptions in favor of relying on streaming video services and web content. But earlier this week, that same face spoke of a happy coexistence between the two. According to VentureBeat, maybe this could be considered blasphemy to disgruntled cord cutters eager to see traditional TV service providers go the way of the newspaper, but for Hastings, it's a decision that could be favorable to Netflix. He said we all told you this was going to happen. All of that whole business about we don't want anything to do with them was not going to go over well for long because Netflix is getting their butts kicked. Comcast actually did come out swinging, and they did a good job. Sorry to tell you, Netflix. He said it's not the short term, but it's in the natural direction for us.
Did I lose my cord?
No, I was the blog talk is flashing something at me. I have no idea why.
Are we still on air, people? Can you hear us? Do you hear me touching my boobies? Bounce.
Wow, it's some kind of message. We don't know if you can still hear us, but we will continue speaking because as far as I know, we're still on air. They're flashing some message at us. Don't know why. Anyway, they said in the short term, it's the natural direction for us in the long term. Hastings said Tuesday at a technology and media industry event, reports Kate that's reporting that. He explained that many traditional TV service providers would welcome more premium services on par with HBO, Cinemax, Stars, and Showtime. Hastings added that he believes those TV service providers who bid on bundling Netflix over HBO if given a choice. A Hastings statement seemed bold because HBO has original shows like True Blood, Boardwalk Empire, and the greatest show ever created by some people's standards, Game of Thrones, which Netflix will never get its hands on if it doesn't do this. Meanwhile, those TV service providers can justify choosing HBO over Netflix right now because you can only watch HBO programming when it's bundled with a monthly TV package. Enough people are willing to pay the monthly TV service cost plus the $30, $50 HBO bundle cost just to watch that content. And since Netflix is a standalone service, it doesn't hold nearly the same value to the TV service providers. And it doesn't. Netflix is also facing a new threat from TV providers that are beginning to launch their own complementary on-demand streaming video services to retain existing customers and attract new ones. The strategy has proved successful for the third biggest TV service provider, Dish Network, which reported an increase. Oh, never scroll, never scroll. I did it. The strategy has proved successful for the third biggest TV service provider, Dish Network, which reported an increase in subscriber growth for quarter four 2011 due largely to Blockbuster's DVD by mail and streaming video rental service bundles. And the Dish isn't the only provider expanding its streaming service presence. Last week, Comcast launched its Netflix-like Stream Pick service, which will be free for customers. Yes, it is free. That's why I said they came out swinging and did a damn good job. Bundled with TV, internet, phone packages, and $5 more a month for those with only a single service. Comcast cable chief Neil Schmidt told investors Wednesday that Stream Pick is a great complementary service. It will give customers no reason to go anywhere else. And since Comcast is also the owner of NBC Universal, it'll have plenty of leverage in gaining content from others to make Stream Picks more competitive with Netflix. Overall, TV service providers at 343,000 new subscribers during quarter four 2011, with AT&T UVerse up 208,000, Verizon Fios up 194,000. If they just come to Texas, we'd up that number for you. DirecTV is up 125,000, and Dish is up only 22,000. Charter and Comcast reported the lowest number of subscriber losses for the quarter, so it would appear that traditional TV service is far from dead, something Netflix Hastings is undoubtedly aware of. So with TV service providers having exclusive access to premium content from the likes of HBO, as well as launching their own complimentary streaming service, Netflix could slowly become much less appealing. So it's understandable for Hastings to start warming up to the idea of having Netflix become another bundled content add-on for traditional TV providers. And depending on the success of the original program, the future of Netflix might not just look like a premium cable channel, it might actually become one. Complete with higher fees and the exclusive availability through a traditional TV service. At the same time, if Netflix's content strategy is successful while keeping monthly fees low, it could kill off some of the TV service providers and cause others to vastly improve what they offer their customers. Right now, it's a waiting game, and Hastings isn't commenting to either side. You know, Hastings, I don't know what to tell you. We did warn you. The companies were going to come out swinging. I knew that Comcast was going to, because if you're a Comcast customer, you already have some early insight to this. We did warn you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Oh, that does not sound good, and I totally just lost what I was looking at. Oh, I found it. All right. Oops. Y'all actually want to know this. Princeton Review's 2012 Top Schools for Video Game Design List. The Princeton Review released its third annual list of the best schools to pursue an education in video games. The latest list, the top schools to study video game design for 2012, recommends a total of 50 schools. The full report is over at PrincetonReview.com. The list is based on the responses of various institutions to a survey Princeton Review conducted in the 2011-2012 academic year. Administrators from over 150 institutions offering video game design coursework and degrees in the United States and Canada answered 50 questions about academics, faculty credentials, graduate employment, and career achievements, the quality of the curriculum, and more. The list also factors in data collected from the schools on scholarships, financial aid, and career opportunities. The Princeton Review's top 10 undergraduate schools are University of Southern California, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, University of Utah, I didn't even know they'd have one there, all right, DigiPen Institute of Technology, the Art Institute of Vancouver, Rochester Institute of Technology, Shawnee State University, Savannah College of Art and Design, University of New Mexico, and Becker College, that's the 10 one, they just didn't have it marked. There's a whole list. I'll go ahead and name the top five for the actual graduate schools. We've got the University of Southern California, Rochester Institute of Technology, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, University of Central Florida, woohoo, party school, Southern Methodist University. yes, but there is a whole list. So if you want to check this out, if you're looking at furthering your education, if you have somebody you know who's looking at furthering their education, this list could be invaluable to them. So check it out. Again, it's over at PrincetonReview.com.
Oh, well, they forgot Full Sail. It's not in the top five?
No.
They are rather expensive. DigiPen's expensive, too. That was the first place I looked because there was nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive. Oof. I will tell you, those of you who want to get into the industry and want to do it, you know, on the cheap because you just don't have that kind of money or you don't want to take out those kinds of loans, look at your local community college. And you can kind of piece together a curriculum if they don't have one officially at your local community college. You will obviously need to take an art course if you want to do the artwork. And I don't care that you're the excellent artist and your grandma says you draw Marvin the Martian better than anybody she's ever seen. You still need that art course under your belt.
Yes, you do, people.
Make yourself well-rounded. Go ahead and take you a bunch of programming classes. That means a lot of math. And the math is not so much as you use a lot of math in programming. It teaches you analytical thinking because you have to be able to figure out how to solve the problem when there's, you know, a program you have to write. So there's lots of math involved, and it's algebra, which I love, which sounds odd for me to say.
No.
I need some algebra. Why? Because there is numbers mixed in with the letters, and that's always good for me. I can take a chalkboard long one problem of algebra and I can do it for you. Not a problem. You're also going to need you some, if you want to do writing, you want to be the game writer, you need to take your nice creative writing class. And again, you can take all of these individually. Nobody tells you, and I know a lot of young people don't know this. I didn't know it when I was a young Gaminatrix. You don't have to take, you know, once you've gotten past those core classes, you are not obligated to actually take something that falls within a program. You can go to college and, you know, I just want to take programming. They'll tell you you will have to have take these classes before, and if you've already taken them, then you just take your programming class. Same with any of them. So you go there, you can piece together, or if you just, like I said, want to be well-rounded, so when you go to get a job, you say, okay, I can write, I can program, I can do artwork, and, you know, just let me in. open, look at my grades, 4.0, look at that. And, you know, there's no program at my school, and I couldn't afford DigiPen or UCLA, I couldn't afford it, just, you know, let me in. And they will. I got headhunted by Microsoft years ago. I was not ready to move to Seattle at the time, and I wasn't even finished with my programming class. So you'll get a job, I promise you. But you got to have the backing, or at least you got to be exceptional in your whatever it is you're building. We said that yesterday.
Or it is exceptional.
Oh no, I'm not exceptional, but I'm good. I'm a good talker, as y'all can see. I can talk. I can talk a mermaid into buying water. I'm just saying. So anyway, I gotta tell you. I do not like this music story. I hate it. We have been asking for this for years, but look at what they give us. Okay, the Lego people.
What'd they do?
Lego, this new thing called Lego Friends is coming out. It's a new play theme for girls.
Why has it got to be for girls?
I don't mind so much the pink Legos. Honestly, I don't. But could you not find something more positive? I saw it on TV. I don't like it. All of it's... Open your own boutique and make your restaurant. Why do the boys have fire trucks? You could have gave us...
I don't think I like this.
I don't think I like this either. But the Lego Group CEO, Jorgen V. Kunstorp, talks about... he's been talking about Lego Friends, the new play theme for girls, which he said has seen a positive start so far. He's also talking about the research and testing behind the product and explains how Lego Friends fits in with the core values of Lego. He says the new play themes tailors the iconic Lego construction experience especially to girls ages 5 and up and delivers on a girl's desire for realistic role play, creativity, and highly detailed character-based world. Available material includes an that's what they sent for us. Never mind. You weren't supposed to know about that. Anyway, what they gave us was a bunch of video, which we're not going to post because I'm very upset about the way this is. You guys out there who have been playing with Legos for years, as I have, you know how usually they'll show you this is what you can build on the box, but it actually comes in pieces.
Yes.
You can either build that on the box or you can come up with your own. This whole thing looks like it's already put together. There's very little for the girls to put together. Like, we're just dumb. We can't put it together.
No. See, that's half the fun is putting it together. I do not like this. I do not like this at all. You people, stop trying to dumb us down. We're not dumb. We have no arguments. This goes back to argument. Oh, I will tell you about this later, Corey. I was hot.
That's my short one. Wait.
That's your short one? All right, you go ahead.
I just knew you were going to be irritated. All right, so it's officially announced. Well, it's not officially announced. There's more rumors about the iPad 3.
Right. Really? What about it?
Well... Again, the big the big announcement will be next Wednesday, March the 7th, talking about the iPad 3. That's when they'll have their big event. Okay, so far we know it's going to be a little thicker to accommodate the several new features, including the high-resolution Retina display, improved cameras, the inclusion of LTE 4G technology. Other rumors about the iPad suggest that the unit will offer a new quad-core A6 processor to replace the iPad's dual-core A5 chip. According to a new report by a Taiwanese publication called DigiTimes, Apple will likely launch two iPad 3 models. They're saying there could be a 16-gigabyte edition and a 13-gigabyte version. While those hard drive capacities aren't new, it would be surprising for Apple to no longer offer its 64-gigabyte capacity, which it offered for both the iPad and iPad 2. The only reason Apple would discontinue making a 64-gigabyte model is if only a minuscule number of consumers picked up that model, which we don't know. Additionally, VentureBeat is reporting that that particular report suggests another Apple change-up with a cheaper 8-gigabyte iPad to be unveiled during the event. Now, in theory, a cheaper version of the iPad 2 could help attract some of us cheaper folk and can...
Yes, some of us, we love you, but yeah, but we're not spending that amount of money on your crap.
Yeah, and they're saying it could go head-to-head with the Amazon Kindle Fire and the Nook tablet. Or some other low-end $199 Android tablet, because those are not the only two on the market. The launch of the Windows 8 tablets is going to come out later this year that they have to worry about. While Digitimes fanned the rumor flames for the iPad 3 event, it also pushed out an article suggesting, and this is out today, that would begin Apple would begin production on a smaller 7.85-inch iPad in the third quarter. Everybody's kind of heard that before. The competition in the market is heating up, so it's not unlikely that they would do this, because the Nook or the Kindle Fire, whichever one I was playing with, it was the Nook because I keep saying it's more durable, is much smaller and lighter. I find it very difficult personally to read or do anything on the iPad, and I don't like that I have to buy a stand if I want to do it. Whereas when I'm picking up the Nook to hold it, it fits right in my hand. It's not too heavy. And it was extremely powerful. I like the fact that it's really, I think if you're a college student, this is probably the pad that you want. Forget the iPad. You really want Nook. All the stuff that it does is more geared towards
I love my Nook.
Yeah,
I love my Nook.
Now, the iPad does all that, you know, that looking up words and thesaurus stuff, but it was not readily. I want to say it came with an update. I don't remember it being there before the Nook came out. But you know how you can, in the Nook, you touch a word and it'll, you know, it'll pull down a menu and say, do you want to look up the word? You want an alternate meaning? You want us to copy and paste it here? And then, I don't remember that being on the iPad. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember. But I just love the way it was set up. All I could think was, man, whenever I get to go back to school, I got to have this. I mean, the iPad fits in my purse, but this really fits in my purse where nobody can see it. It's mixed in with all the junk I keep in there. But so I love it. I love it. So iPad, I say step up, do something.
Yes, do something. Do something and do something good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what's going on?
David Lewis sent us a tweet and said the IPSN network goes down for the Britney Spears. My God.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. That's it for us, boys and girls. We're done. We're sorry. We gotta go. We're both thrilled. Oh my God.
Oh, that's it for the show. Thank you. Good night. Oh my God.
Oh, you ruined it. You broke it.
You broke it. Oh my God. Oh, I love our audience. I do.
Down more than Britney Spears.
That's a new one. That sounds like something I'd say.
That's bad. That is hilarious, though. Oh my God.
It is. It's. I'm not gonna cry.
My brain is like stuck on that now.
I can't think of anything else. Tinder, step into something. I can't stop laughing.
I'm trying. All right, Zombie Panic in Wonderland Plus. Yeah, all right, it's happened. They have taken your favorite childhood movie and brought in zombies. Machine guns in hands, popular fairy tale characters face endless waves of zombies in this hilarious and addictive action game. From a fog of exotic perfume arises a plague of amorous zombies, and now they're invading classical fairy tale kingdoms. What the heck is going on here? Who's responsible for this apocalyptic mess? Having returned to his city only to find it in shambles, our hero, Momotaro, heads west in search of clues. Taking up arms at his side are the sweet Dorothy, the sexy and ice-cold Snow White, and many more, all ready to blast every zombie in their path until they trace the problem to its source. Alright, so Zombie Panic in Wonderland, which reached number one on the Nintendo WiiWare worldwide rankings, has now come to the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad in improved and extended form. The game's controls have been completely redesigned for a perfect iOS adaptation. New stages and characters have also been added, and all the game's graphics redesigned for iPhone 4 Retina display. Fans of the original WiiWare release will appreciate improved playability and incorporation of score bonuses and leaderboards. Like the original, this version serves up a multitude of destructible environments, mountains of enemies, and various guns that afford some fun on the fly strategizing. Alright. So, yeah, it's Alice in Wonderland meets zombies. That is called Zombie Panic in Wonderland Plus. Looks like there is a free trial in the App Store right now, but they're not telling me how much the full game is. But if you head over to GameNature.com this morning, I have got some images up for you as well as a YouTube video. So head over there and check that out. GameNature.com. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's very interesting.
I used car. So, yeah.
All right, I mentioned to you guys a bit ago that I was playing a game called Swords and Sandals 5.
Mm-hmm.
Real interesting. You play as a gladiator. You get to fight. If I'm not mistaken, because it's been a while since I played it, if I'm not mistaken, it's on iPad, but I could be wrong. The game is still in beta, but beta 3 is now available. They're asking that you pop on over and play. Play. You can go to play that at thirdsensemail.com. And again, it's third, the number 3, RD, and then sensemail.com if you're interested in trying out the gladiator thing. I know how some of you love to be gladiators. I personally just want my game back from Xbox. Just saying. Yeah. Gladius. I need Gladius back. If anybody knows where I could get my hands on an Xbox original emulator and a copy of Gladius, can you just let a system know? I need to finish that game. It's been bothering me. It's been years, and it's bothering me. I need to finish it. I need to find out what happens between my two characters. They had a romance going. And it was done by, what's his face from, did you ever watch Smallville? Ginger?
Oh, muted. My God, and I'm muted? Mm-hmm. No, I never watched Smallville. That was not my thing. Superman? No, sorry.
Well, the one who played Lex Luthor, if you look him up later, you'll probably think he's rather hot. Michael Rosenbaum voiced the main guy character. And I don't know who did the girl, but they had a mad romance going on in McGladius. And finally, I was just getting to him. He was, every time my girl would get hit, he'd yell out her name, Ursula, no! Oh, it was just beautiful. And then Ursula? I don't know what happened. Her name is Ursula. I don't know what happened. It's driving me crazy. Somebody find it for me. Okay, I'm
good. Oh, poor girl.
Like, no, what happened? Did they get married? Did they make little gladiators together?
Oh, they make your little gladiators. You're so adorable, yes.
We said we were stopping at yesterday.
Did we? My bad. I was out of it yesterday. I was not feeling well.
Did we not say we were going to cut that out?
My bad.
The peoples are going to cut us. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did want to go back. I'm going to have to go back and listen because I remember I did something that was all like high-pitched and you're all like, wow.
Yeah, you went on to the high-reg chair. It was real.
I don't remember what it was.
All right, so I got another one.
Ooh. You got another one? Are you sure? Because you just did one.
Well, it was very short. I stretched them out because, you know, I talk a lot.
Okay, you go right on ahead.
There is more unrest going on. Wait a
minute. Uh-oh. Unrest with who?
Well, you know, I would love to. Okay, I would love to tell you. But I can't right now. Okay, so I'm going to move to this one. Those of you who are waiting on Doom 4 will be happy to know Bethesda is not canceled. Despite recent rumors, job losses that have been suffered by ID Software had many wondering how the next Doom was going to fare, prompting talk of a possible cancellation. Though Bethesda shot down such rumors, saying that the games are done when they are done, many still held the belief that Doom 4 was consigned to the ages. But speaking to Joystick, Bethesda VP of Marketing and PR, Pete Hines, simply put it that Doom 4 is not canceled.
Doom! Doom!
The news from Hines comes as All Games Beta posted multiple screenshots that said images were leaked from canceled Doom 4. Bethesda, however, maintains that the screenshots are not even genuine. So,
Wasn't it Bethesda that everything was put aside? No, that wasn't Bethesda. Who was it?
I don't know. So much of
so many of y'all are closing. I can't keep up with who's closing anymore.
That's because some of them just didn't. You know, they weren't keeping up with the times. And even we're guilty of it. Sometimes we're not. You know, at the time we're not keeping up with things. So we're updating. So is everybody. So unfortunately, their updates means they got to fire people.
No, firing the ginger.
No. We can't fire Ginger. We love our Ginger.
Yes.
So, yes, that's what generally happens. But, you know, like we saw earlier, Lionhead is
putting together a new team, so I'm pretty sure we'll have some new people rise from the ashes.
Wow, rise from the ashes. Nom, 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 nom.
Girl, I almost hit the end show button. That would have been
don't do it. Don't do it. All right, it's my go.
Yes, it's your go.
Leap into the Ring, The New Guys, adventure game released for PC. Retro-styled indie games puts a humorous spin on the weird and wacky world of professional wrestling. All right, I'm only reading this because it actually kind of looked amusing to me. Celebrate Leap Year the old-school way with The New Guys, Day of the... And we're probably just about on the other side. If you got bosses, watch out. The New Guys, Day of the Jackass. A retro-styled point-and-click adventures just released by Wadget Eye Games. It's $9.99,
wow.
By the way. So you can download it. With traditional adventure gameplay reminiscent of the LucasArts classics and the fast-paced humor of a Saturday morning cartoon, The New Guys put... Yes, and it is The New Guys put players in the shoes of three questionable wrestlers, Brian the Clueless One, Defender the Intellectual, and Simon the Meathead. When Brian wins the WrestleZone's title belt quite by accident and is promptly kidnapped by a jealous rival, his reluctant teammates set out to save his hide. The quirky adventure that follows features a humorous storyline with an unusual cast of characters, dozens of creative puzzles to solve, and the chance to play all three new guys at various points. And don't be fooled by the stylized cartoon artwork. The high-quality indie production also has professional voice acting and original soundtrack and in-game achievements linked to unlockable bonus content. All right, so if you head over to GameMatrix.com this morning, I have this up, I think, along with a trailer and possibly some screenshots. So go check this out. Yes, yes, GameMatrix.com this morning. Go do it. Come for the
You know what? In my mind, for some reason, you were still talking.
No, but I can.
I'm good. I was just like, why? Did she stop talking? Oh, yes, she did. I thought you were pausing.
Yeah, I did.
Well, Kabam! Has launched its first.
Yeah, I like that name. Yeah, you do. You say that a lot. Kabam!
Kabam! You need sound effects during the show.
Yeah, we do. Oh,
no, we don't. Don't say that because you know what happens. Blaster, don't do it.
Blaster, don't do it.
Kabam is launching its first hardcore game for mobile devices today. It's called Kingdoms of Camelot, Battle for the North. It'll be available on the Apple App Store on the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch as a free-to-play mobile game. The launch is part of a multi-platform expansion that Kabam is undertaking as it searches for hardcore gamers who are the high rollers of the gaming industry and are willing to spend a lot of money in social games. Earlier this week, Kabam! Expanded to cnetsdownload.com, and the week before, it moved its games on the Kongregate indie gaming portal that's owned by GameStop, which I used to love, but I have since tried to avoid Kongregate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking our best-loved brands and moving them to mobile, said Matt Ricchetti, who's the vice president of the mobile division of Kabam, in an interview with VentureBeat. Kabam started on Facebook, but makes sense for Kabam to move beyond the social network because it targets hardcore gamers who are a minority of game players on Facebook.
Why we always got to be minorities?
You know, the definition of hardcore. We've talked about that before. Kabam could spend a lot of money on ads on Facebook, but the universe of possible players was small. So Kabam is seeking out the hardcore gamers on other platforms where they are present. That has led to a decline in Facebook users. In August, Kabam had more than 12.9 million monthly active users on Facebook, but that number has shrunk to 2 million, period, according to App Data. Meanwhile, the cost of advertising on Facebook is rising. The strategy is in the market is in marked contrast to their rivals, KIXEYE. KIXEYE chief executive Will Harbin said in an interview that KIXEYE is focused on Facebook and believes it's a great platform if you have the right games. According to VentureBeat, Kingdoms of Camelot has attracted more than 15 million registered users worldwide, though its active population has fallen to 490,000 monthly active users. Ouch! The action focused on Arthurian-style game of strategy and empire building in the north of medieval Britain. The free-to-play game allows users to try it for free and pay real money for virtual goods. More free-to-play mobile games, of course, are on the way. The game features an all-new story. Characters in a persistent world where thousands of players can cooperate and get this in real time. The story
In the story, the savage Picts are have overrun the northern Britain after the death of King Lot of Lothian. Lot's widowed queen, Morgause, appeals to her half-brother Arthur, I can't get it out, Arthur. From, wow.
Somebody, we know that name's there somewhere, we're just not quite sure where.
Of course, you get to play as a powerful knight in King Arthur's court. The game is a standalone game that relates to the Facebook game, but is not otherwise integrated with it. You can't, for instance, start a game on the PC and continue it on the iPhone, which sucks. Anyway, let us know if you get to play it. I don't know that I'll be downloading it because I got a ton of games on the iPad business already, and I need to write up and all that kind of business, so we may take it on my iPad. Woo! There's some sucky games on the iPad. What is going on with the developers?
Everybody's copying everybody, and nobody has any good ideas recently. We have good ideas, but...
Am I going to have to code on the iPad? Like, I have time. I don't have time, people.
We need three more Corys.
Yeah,
the world could not handle that, but we need three more Corys.
Okay, there's some people asking for stuff. Let me see what's going on here.
All right, well, while you do that, I can go on?
Yes, please do.
All right, it's a glorious day on Tropico as Calypso unveils new Tropico 4 Water Time trailer.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful. You know I love me some Tropico.
You do. El Presidente is being transported into the modern era, and things will never be the same. In a new trailer released today, Calypso Media fans will get their first look at a brand new Tropico and island paradise filled with hilarious new characters, stunning new structures, and more. All right, so if you want the trailer, GameNatrix.com this morning, head over, check it out. Tropico Modern Times 4, which Calypso will release on the 27th of March for the Xbox. And the 23rd for Windows PC, will be priced at 1,200 Microsoft points, $19.99, pounds, francs, lindens, whatever. Whatever the L sign is, $29.99 pounds, franc cookies, whatever the C sign is. The times are changing and the island nation of Tropico is evolving. The internet, a new world order, terrorists, global financial markets, and space exploration are on the rise and pose new challenges to El Presidente and his regime in Tropico 4 Modern Times. Old buildings and structures are becoming obsolete and need to be upgraded or even replaced by their modern counterparts. Cars and transportation need modernization to meet the needs of a changing economy, and now El Presidente can even send people to the International Space Station. El Presidente and his ministers must now join the war against terror and control internet regulation and freedom of speech on Tropico. All right, so you want more information? GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over, check it out.
Did I miss a release date? Did you say one?
The 27th for the Xbox and the 23rd for PC.
Of this month?
Of this month, yep, of March.
Wow, I haven't even finished playing Tropico 3.
Well, yeah. All right.
That's
so,
amazing. We got just a little bit of time left. I think I got time.
Right on ahead, or I will, either way.
All right. Well, Amazon's Kindle is doing something fantastical. They're lending they're lending library limits, 100,000 books. That's right. The Kindle, according to VentureBeat, the Kindle owner's lending library now supports more than 100,000 titles, including one-third of the top 20 Kindle bestsellers, all free for the borrowing, Amazon announced Wednesday. You don't have a Kindle. You all excited?
I need one, though, man.
Yes. Launched late last year, the lending library is a delightful little Kindle perk for Amazon Prime customers who pay their $79 annual fee for 2 days shipping and unlimited video streaming, and now they get a free book borrowing service. Prime customers can borrow one book a month to read on their Kindles, and there's no due dates. Isn't it nice? Just like a library.
That is very nice. That is very nice. Very nice.
The library selection has already grown 20-fold in its short lifespan, with readers showing a collective appreciation for self-published titles. Readers checked out more than 1 million books from independent authors, Amazon said. Altogether, the independent authors participating in the Kindle Direct Publishing Select Service have earned more than $1.8 million in royalty fees from the lending library books borrowed by Kindle owners. Not all authors and publishers are keen on expanding the library, however. Right after launch, the Authors Guild, which represents more than 8,000 U.S. writers, I believe Stephen King, my favorite writer, is a member of that, said that the lending library constituted a breach of contract. I can see where that might come into play, but I'm thinking, I just want people to read my stuff.
Yes.
Just
yes,
read it.
Yes.
I like the idea. I don't know about other people's libraries in their cities, but our library has been doing this. Actually, they were very tech forward. You can go to our library and check out books with a jump drive, digital copies of pretty much any book they have in, or you can take your laptop and, hook it up. Literally, you walk in, you hook it up, you pick out which books you want, download them, and you're out of there. Jump drive. It does expire. You do have a due date, though, but instead of making you have to come back in, it just expires. You can't use it anymore. Bam, it's over. I like that.
That's very nice. That's very nice. And I actually made it to my library yesterday. I just forgot to take any of my identification with me. That was fun.
We got 5 minutes. You think you can squeeze one in?
I do. 2K Games and let me start over. 2K Games and Irrational Games announced street date for BioShock Infinite.
Ooh,
yes. Are you ready? Are you ready? Eagerly anticipated game to revolutionize action storytelling on October 16th of 2012. That's this year, folks. Just a couple
Say
months
again.
Away. October 16th, 2012. 2K Games announces today that BioShock Infinite will be available in North America on October 16th for the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and Windows PC. The title will be available internationally on October 19th. Developed by Irrational Games, BioShock won more than 75 editorial awards at E3 in 2011. It has sold more than 9 million units worldwide. A creative director of Irrational Games, Ken Levine says, after BioShock, we had a vision for a follow-up that dwarfed the original in scope and ambition. BioShock Infinite has been our sole focus over the last 4 years, and we can't wait for fans to get their hands on it. All right, so BioShock Infinite puts players in the role of Booker DeWitt, a hard-bitten former former Pinkerton agent, together with the revolutionary AI companion Elizabeth, the two struggle to escape the sky city of Columbia in a 1912 America that might have been. Armed with an arsenal of new weapons and abilities, they face menacing enemies in a unique expansive environments. Classic BioShock gameplay joins innovations such as aerial combat on high-speed skylines in the service of an immersive storyline. Yay! All right, so this sounds fun. It's not yet rated by PEGI, so we don't know what it's going to be. Doesn't look like they've told us what ESRB is going to say either, so yeah. Anyway, October 16th in the U.S., October 19th for the rest of you people in the world. So, yeah. Yay!
All right, we're going to go ahead and start to wind down and get out of here, but I do want to toss a rumor your way. It is rumor.
She's always got the best rumors, doesn't she?
Well, this one is really good because I like it. The Assassin's Creed is coming out. The rumor is the lead will be a Native American character. That's a whole other kind of gameplay. Just imagine the Wild West or something. Oh, man, this could get
that
you.
Sounds awesome.
Bow and arrows, baby. Horseback fighting. Oh, I'm just saying. Anyway, we're out of here. We will see you guys a little bit later on tonight. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time sharp. Sit in our chat room. Call us up. Tell us you love us. Tell us you hate us. We don't really care. Just call us, and we will see we will see you guys a little bit later.
later, boys and girls.